is going to be looking at himself the whole time. Like, look at me, I'm the greatest president ever. That's fucking awesome. Right. He's going to be focused on a tree. Look at this big-ass Christmas tree I got. White House. Instead of two turkeys, I got five turkeys.
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Donald Trump's America and the Deranged Penguin Podcast, coming to you, as always, on Podcast Delay, the only way you get your information, bi-weekly, and filled with the ill-informed, partially informed,
mal-informed.
Is it
tremendously informed?
Tremendous, the best. I just got word from... very important people. This is the best show on the internet, turns out. Ladies and gentlemen, much to my chagrin, which I think means just, you know, my horrified shock, we elected Donnie fucking Trump as presidential of the United States. He's president of the United States, was probably worse, and we'll get to this in a little bit. He has control of an expanded presidency, the House, the Senate. The whole party does, and it's opposed by the weakest Democratic Party that...
He's not the president yet.
Well, yeah.
President-elect.
Yeah, president-elect. So let's go around the room. That's my initial reaction. Holy fuck was my... I think, to quote myself multiple times throughout the evening to my friends via text and throughout the day, pretty much. I just kind of paused. So when, holy fuck.
Did you watch it? Did you watch things unfold in real time?
Yes. More or less.
Gina, were you up with?
Yeah, I was following everything online, and then we tuned in on TV maybe around, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah, when it was at 21% chance that Hillary Clinton was going to pull the thing out, according to 538.com. I was like, what the fuck?
Because, yeah.
So, cool. Yeah, set the stage a little bit. I was playing Fallout 4. Like I said, I had read all the prognostications. They're like 71% chance Hillary Clinton's going to be president at the start of the day. So I was like, okay. I hadn't followed it that closely as it did in 2012, mostly because, like, I had my mind made up. As if you listen to the show, you kind of have an inkling of how I was going to vote. I thought Donald Trump, I still think Donald Trump is a clown, unfit for the presidency. And I thought a lot of other people would see it the same way. And so I was like, okay, this is pretty obviously done. And then Gina was telling me that the percentages, that she's like, oh, the New York Times says it's going to be like 95% chance. I was like, what? That Donald Trump's going to be president.
Yeah, they came out of nowhere. So I was following it on CNN's website and watching the map as the votes came in, and I was like, yeah, she's pretty much got it locked down. I wasn't worried. And then someone on Twitter posted a picture from the New York Times that said Donald Trump had like an 85% chance of winning, and I was like, where are they getting this from? So I started following it on both sides. The Times differed from CNN pretty greatly the whole evening. And they were like behind, or they would decide states before CNN did. So I was just kind of watching them both, but thinking something was weird going on with the Times. And I was like, they're going to be wrong. And that's when Adam told me to start looking at 538. So I started looking at that too, and decided that was the most reliable until he failed me. And...
fucking Nate.
I was like, what the hell's going on?
Del, where did you experience this, the election night?
I was hanging out with friends online, playing a game, and willfully ignoring all attempts to penetrate said game with information from the real world. Right before things got, like the count got really underway, a friend was like, you know, I'll bet you Trump's going to win. I was like, there's no legitimate way. And he would like be like, I don't know. They're like saying, you know, that's kind of back and forth and you can't really tell. And I was like, man, they just do that like for Pete. So people stay ratings. Tuned in ratings, yeah. Like the way they present the information makes it seem like, you know, it's a close race all the way, but there's no way, like, no way. And then 1 o'clock in the morning rolls around and everybody's like, I can't believe this. Like 0% of the people that I was hanging out with, like, even thought that it was possible that Trump might win. And so I went to bed like just surprised, man, and like flabbergasted, really. And I woke up at like 6:30 in the morning, like, with these feelings of like that couldn't have been real. And so I got on the computer and I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, this thing happened.
Yeah. Bradley, how did you experience the news?
I came off of nights yesterday. So I was on nights, like on Monday into Tuesday morning. And I was telling Del to get back on to like a normal person schedule. I only slept like 2 hours from like Monday at about 2 p.m. until last night. So by the time we put the kids to bed and, you know, like 7 p.m. rolls around, 8 p.m. rolls around, I'm starting to get pretty tired. It's like 9 and we're looking at the map and I was like, ah, I was thinking what Dell was thinking. I was like, I think this thing is pretty much fucking over. I'm not really worried about anything. They're like, well, Florida's pretty close. And I was like, yeah, but Florida doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme. I mean, you know, like, she still gets North Carolina, Virginia, Wisconsin. You know, like, I mean, she's still got, like, all these outs. It's not really that big of a deal. And I was just fucking beat tired. So I checked Facebook like one last time to see, you know, what people were saying because I was sort of entertained by it, and then went to bed. And I woke this morning and Biff was elected president of the United States. And it felt like I'm right there with you. Like, I felt like one of my family members had taken my phone in the night and like directed me to certain websites that were going to be false or something like that. Like, I just felt like I was in Back to the Future 2. I felt like it's just fake. It has to be. I'm getting punked right now.
Like, I think we all kind of experienced it similarly, and just us in real time and you guys a little bit after the fact. I did also wake up wondering.
We watched the coverage all the way through his acceptance speech.
Yeah.
And I went to bed in the midst of that because I couldn't stomach it. And
how did you sleep?
I was like 2:30. I went to go to bed and I was just like, I'm done. I can't watch it anymore. And they, at that point, they were like, okay, Hillary's not going to speak. But she did call him to concede. And I was like, she knows they're going to find votes or something. Like, something's wrong and they'll figure it out in the night. And in the morning, it'll be fixed and we'll know the true truth. So
that's what I thought. I was like, let's wait for the recount.
Yeah, I was like, he's going to look so dumb in the morning. So I'll wake up and this will have all been a nightmare. But it was still true in the morning.
And like after the shock wore off, like, I was still sort of like just fucking wide-eyed and feeling crazy. And we packed the girls up to go to school. And, like, Lauren goes with me. And But, you know, normally I try like let Lawrence look in for a little while, and I'll take the girls to school just because I'm sort of a morning person. And after she was like, hey, what happened last night? And I was like, I think Donald Trump is our next president. She was like, her eyes fucking like shoot open. Bullshit. Like, there is not any, there is no fucking joking in her voice. There is no, I'm interested in this conversation right now. It is not like cute flirtation humor. It is shut your fucking mouth. So I was
God
like,
damn it, Brad, I'm tired of your shit.
I'm actually serious. I really think this is true. And so she is fucking awake now too, you know? And so we take the girls to school and it's still sinking in. You know, I'm listening to NPR on my way to take them to school and it's sinking in a little bit. And she goes, well, I'll take them in this morning if you'll just sit in the car with Soren. And so she gets out, takes him in, and like I look back at the back seat, and Anna is just—I don't know. She's just like already empathetic. Like she's already demonstrating like empathy and stuff, which I don't know. I don't know much about like childhood development, but for a four-year-old, evidently that's not totally normal. It's usually like six or seven that people can like demonstrate empathy, and she can tell that I'm upset, and she says something, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was along the lines of like, it'll be okay, Daddy, like, you know, we'll get to hang out this afternoon, and, you know, it'll be all right, don't worry about it. And I just could not keep it together. So Lauren takes him in, and I am like weeping, absolutely weeping in my car alone with my infant, because I was like, this world does not want my daughters. That's like I just couldn't keep it together, because when I was looking at the geographic breakdown by county, that was really like what fucked my brain this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like the red and blue states. It was like when you look at it by county, it's like everything is fucking red, and it's just like it's like the map of the world at night, and the blue is just the lights, you know? It's like you have this like speck of blue on Philly, and you got this speck of blue on Atlanta, and like it's literally like the negative of that map. And it's like, and I know that there are, obviously we're getting into sort of our next phase here of, you know, why did this happen and stuff like that, and I know that there are a lot of different reasons this stuff happens, and we can get into that in a second, but When I look back and saw my daughter, my first thought was, you are not worth as much as somebody with a penis to a lot of the world.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cliche. I was like, I mostly felt bad for my kid, because then, like, you know, she was kind of getting ready to go sleep. She fell asleep early, and we had spent all day with her. Like I said, we took the day off, kind of made it a day. I think Election Day should be a holiday. So we hung out, and, you know, she was super great. You know, she's a great kid. And I kept thinking about it. I was like, fuck, man. Like, first 4 years of your life are going to be fucking Donald Trump years of your life. And, I mean, before we can continue on, like, one of the reasons I'm so kind of upset about the whole thing is that it's not like your typical, Romney became president. But like, those are just, like, kind of normal politician things, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
governor of Texas has been a Republican guy for forever, right? Like, you kind of deal with it the way you deal with it. I mostly just disagree with them. But Donald Trump is, like, so clearly just unfit for the office of president, you know, that I'm like, what the hell were people thinking? So, yeah, well, I also feel bad for my kid, too.
That's a large part of the reason why I was so upset, too, because I was thinking about it, not in terms of like, oh, well, it's Donald Trump even, because obviously I'm not a fan of this guy, I didn't vote for him or whatever, but it's the number of people who voted for him and the number of people who are like, it's perfectly permissible for a figurehead to be so brazenly racist. And even if it is for purposes of rhetoric to get elected, whatever. It's just not okay. It's not okay to be a misogynist. It's not okay to do these things. And it makes one of the saving graces of the day was that when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, thank God it's not my 13-year-old daughter. Thank God it's not my 10-year-old daughter who has like an awareness about these things. And I have to explain, like, he's a man. I can't, like, even now just trying to, like, mentally, you know, pace through it, I can't figure out, like, what the words would be in that scenario. But I am thankful that I don't have a daughter who is a little bit older, who is inquisitive about how this could have come to pass, who is of that formative age when she's trying to, like, think about her own goals and stuff like that. Yeah, because I think this would be a crushing blow to a 12-year-old girl who just heard this guy say that it's okay to grab people by the pussy.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing that, like, I realize I'm not knocking you for being thinking about your own particular situation, but there are people that with that exact situation. Gina, as a woman, how did you feel about, like, that part of the whole thing? Were you, like, more upset about his misogyny or his racism, or was it his lying, or was it his incompetence?
There's so many choices.
Was it his hair?
I mean, I was kind of dismissive of him for a long time as a candidate, and I just thought he was, in general, so ridiculous and over the top, and a lot of the things that he said, racist or sexist, what have you, I was like, he just says crazy stuff and he doesn't care. He does it for effect, but it doesn't matter because people will see past that and see that he's just ridiculous and he's a non-thing. Like, he's a little, you know, a sideshow, and then we'll move on and get down to business. So I've only started thinking more and more about the implications of the things that he's said or promised or, you know, his ideas as things that could actually happen or affect us. And it's crazy. I thought about us having a daughter now and how much that sucks. And we kind of talked about, you tend to think when things like this happen, or nothing like this has ever happened, but when crazy things happen, like, how could we bring a kid into this world? It's so messed up. But I was thinking, I'm glad we didn't have our kid, like, 8 years ago, because we would have thought, what a great time to have a kid. Things are as good as they're, like, it's only getting better. Not to realize that 8 years later, it would be, like, the worst thing that could possibly happen. We wouldn't have even fathomed with our 8-year-old, like, we thought we came so far. And right when it starts to register with them, kind of what's going on in the world. So, silver lining? I don't know, but so young.
I was just going to say off that, like, I think that's maybe one lesson there is that it's never as good or as bad as it seems at the time, right?
You sure hope
so. Right, there's that thing from Charlie Wilson's War, the Zen master says, we'll see. We'll wait and see. And you got anything else?
Yeah, but what Brad was saying reminded me of what Van Jones said last night on CNN, and he made a lot of really great points. But he was saying, you know, I'm thinking, and he got kind of choked up, like, about what I tell my kids. What is everyone going to tell their kids when they put them to bed tonight? Like, you try to instill these values in them, you know, don't bully people, don't lie, don't do this, do this, be like this, treat women like this, treat others like this. And how can that hold any weight when they see, yeah, but this is how he behaves, and look where it gets you.
Yeah, the presidency of the United States.
And clearly, that so many other people believe the exact same thing. That so many other people, not just like trailer trash either. There are a lot of very powerful, very rich, very influential people who are going to have a lot of say-so in our kids' lives who think that.
Yeah. We'll kind of get to some of the implications here in a second. Dell, right. Do you have any other immediate reactions to the whole thing after processing it the next day?
Yeah, I got up and I immediately had to go to class, go teach my class. And I've never been one to like spout off opinions or use my platform as a teacher to like talk about things that are kind of extracurricular to the subject matter that I'm teaching. But while I was driving to work, I just thought about all of my students and the being in, even in Mississippi, like the extreme amount of gay and lesbian people that are in the music world in Southern Miss and the number of people who are here on school visas and stuff to do like huge influx of people from Puerto Rico and Cuba. And I guess Puerto Rico doesn't really matter, but Cuba and Latin American countries and South American countries and blacks and not, I mean, we don't have that many Asian people or Muslims in Hattiesburg, but just thinking about all of them, man, and like, and seeing my friends who are like admittedly like pretty ultra liberal, like their reactions of like fear, like I'm afraid for my friends who are this and that and the other. And two things, like there's a Longfellow poem called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, and the second half of it is basically like a sense of hopelessness coming over, and then it ends with an idea of hope, and I spent a long time just reflecting on that today, because that's always been a powerful poem, but it seemed to speak a lot to the situation of the morning. Strangely to me, like that it even I think just that I'd never considered the reality of a Trump world, like a Trump presidency, like it made it, the impact was more powerful when the reality started to set in. But I talked to my students about it, and all I could say is that yes, there's an expanded presidency, but ultimately the president doesn't have that much power to do most of the things that he said. And yes, there's fear, but I know, like, the people I know who voted for Trump are not outright racist, bigots, misogynists. They're not, like, that's not where their heart came from, and they're voting for Trump. Most of them voted for Trump because he represented somebody that was not part of the political machine, whereas Hillary Clinton was the quintessential, like, political, part of the political process, and they wanted to see that dismantled, and a lot of them thought that Trump was the answer to that, and they liked his economic policies. But my advice to them was just to use the time to like see and to understand that in the course of history, nobody has ever come in, and one person has never come in and shaped the course of history and like controlled things from the top down like that, except in the wake of some huge world cataclysm that has left a power vacuum. Yeah. It's always been from the ground up, a grassroots sort of change. And I told them that if they want to change the culture of America, the America that wanted to vote Trump into office, that the best thing they can do is to try to change person to person's the culture that they live in on a local level, government, get involved in local politics and state politics and let it kind of build up there. And told them, try not to focus on the fear and to try not to live into the fear and buy into the fear aspect, because I don't think, I can't believe that Trump really believes that stuff. We'll talk about that later. But the scariest thing is that the people who voted for, a lot of people who did vote for him, voted for him because they do believe that shit that he said.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether he actually believes it, there's a significant amount of America that came out to vote for him because of those things that he said.
Yeah, those are good points, Dale, and I think I want to kind of like use that as a jumping off point. I don't think that a lot of people that voted for Donald Trump were like, yes, racism, let's do that. But a lot of people were. There's a lot of people that did do that. But there are a lot of people that are always doing that, right? A lot of people have bad intentions. So, all right. So here's the thing. And we'll kind of get into like how in the hell did exactly happen, the technical aspects. I kind of spent a lot of the day, like, poetry's not really my thing. Like, something goes, you know me, I have a college football blog, right? Something, they lose the game, I try to figure out what happened. They win the game, I try to figure out what happened. So, you know, the candidate I voted for lost. I'm like, so I was reading a lot of that. There's a lot of, like, visceral reaction. Like, this is clearly a vote for racism. This is clearly a vote for, you know, like, ignorance and all the things that we just talked about. And I think some of that's true. I think basically the conclusion that I've come to, and you know, I'll kind of explain why, and you guys can react to it and give your own thoughts on it, is that it is a little bit of a lot of things. If you've paid attention to the world, you'll notice that a lot of first world or developed world countries have had this backlash in their systems. Like Germany's had them, some European governments have had them. I think most recently, England's had been dealing with this backlash. Like Brexit, the Brexit vote had like a Donald Trumpian kind of figure, guy that was spouting off white nationalist rhetoric, protectionism, this kind of that. You know, they were like, let's get out of here, let's control our own stuff. You know, England can do it better. Forget the European Union. All these immigrants coming in here, taking our jobs, blah, blah, blah. Like, you just, you know, adopt that the way we do for everything English, right? They have a show, we adopt it, make it American. Same thing. We basically did the exact same thing. And while we didn't have the same kind of, oh, I was, you know, voting Donald Trump just to kind of, just to do it, but I didn't actually really think it was going to happen. We didn't quite have that here. We did have a lot of the elite, the party leadership, Democratic Party leadership, and even the Republican Party leadership, taken aback and taken by surprise by this guy. I forget who mentioned it just a second ago. Gina, you were saying how you didn't take him seriously. I didn't either. Like, we remember back at the start of his campaign, I forget what paper was. Said, we're just going to cover this as entertainment because we're not taking this dude seriously. Donald Trump's not a serious candidate. And here he is, president of the fucking United States of America. Okay. At every level, when he won the primaries, when he eventually was going to get the nomination, they're like, holy crap, he's going to be the Republican nominee. Like, it's really happening. Same thing. Like, when he came out for the debate, I chuckled to myself, like, I can't believe Donald Trump is a Republican nominee for president of the United States. And I was browsing through
my timeline. It was funny, man. Yeah. It was a freaking joke.
Today, I was browsing through my timeline, and I saw Times cover, like, Donald Trump, president-elect. And I chuckled to myself, like, I can't believe the United States of America elected Donald Trump to be president of these United States.
Idiocracy is her life.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, a lot of people are getting angry. They are fearing about this. And I think before we got kind of get into it, the why, I just want to say that I think there is reason to get in there. And we'll talk a little bit more about this when we get to, like, the outlook, the future. Just because you got to take that kind of stuff seriously. Like, you can't just give him the benefit of doubt. You know, if a guy says something, he's going to do something, how can we read into his intentions in there? Like, and people have been doing it this whole time. When he got past the primaries, he got to the presidential general election, everybody said, well, he's going to tone down he was doing that for the primaries to win that. He's going to tone it down and be a little bit more presidential. He did it. He didn't do that. He turned it up a notch. Like he did like 5-6 things that were pretty terrible in the general election period. So I don't know if I can buy the whole, he's going to tone it down. He just did that to get elected president. He's going to tone it down. He's going to be pretty, you know, calm president now. So, like I said, we'll get some reaction to that later. All right. I think read a lot of stuff. I think this kind of boils down to a couple things. Hillary Clinton was not a good candidate for this era of populism. And I think if you want to look at it, and a lot of people were looking at this, that maybe Bernie Sanders would have been the better candidate to take on. It's populism versus populism. That a lot of the things that, I mean, he won some of the states, you know, that you were talking about, Brad. The Rust Belt states, Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, North Carolina. that he was winning those, and he got a lot of turnout and a lot of enthusiasm in those places amongst the demographics that flipped for Donald Trump, the demographics that voted for Obama and this time voted for Donald Trump, the disaffected people that were concerned about their economic future. And Hillary Clinton, as Del said, was part of the establishment. She was part of the administrations, or just married to the administration, that enacted those deals that Donald Trump was hitting on, NAFTA, that basically put a lot of these people out of their job, right? Globalism stuff, same stuff. And she didn't really have a vision. What was her, like, can you name her platform right now off the top of your head? Other than, I'm a woman, I'm not awful like this dude, vote for me. By the way, those emails are not that bad. And, yeah, like I said, so then just bad politics. Like I said, there was no playbook other than, like, to address those people, to reach out to those people. And it's kind of that simple. And then, like, the backlash, I think there was a little bit of racism. There was a lot of bit of racism towards black people having a president. I don't think it's a coincidence that we had a black president immediately followed by a guy that was endorsed by the K, right? I mean, you know, no. I don't think that's not a, you can't just like, oh, that just disaffected people, you know?
Yeah, it's not really, I mean, it's just a coincidence. It's not really this dude was
literally endorsed by a hate group. They're like, this guy, that's our man. And like, you know, well, not racism. So I think there's a lot of that, and I think there's some misogyny in there too.
You talk about how like Hillary didn't have the talking points, or maybe they didn't develop the talking points for her, and I think that maybe Bernie puts up a better fight against Trump. I don't think because he's necessarily populist, though. I think because he's a man.
Well,
I say that specifically because of the disenfranchisement of the people, right? And he happens to also be a little bit less establishment than Hillary, which there are a lot of people who were very anti-establishment, and that was the reason, or at least the reason they claimed
Before you continue, I just want to point out that I think I saw somebody write about just this exact point, that of the things that his platform was based on, like economic anxiety, like basically the rich are too rich, and we need to redistribute some of that wealth, that you know, the system is rigged for the rich people and the people in power, and I've heard the third one, but those were like very populist stance that Donald Trump took advantage of. He said, yeah, I have a plan for those, I'll fix it, my deal, right? Maybe Bernie Sanders had some other unworkable plan, but it also came tied with less misogyny and less racism and less hate. So
well, and part of the reason I say that is because I think that this was gender motivated. But part of the reason I say it is because I have a very severe lack of understanding for this Rust Belt population and how they want their jobs back. I can empathize with somebody who doesn't have a job. 2 months ago, I had quit my job. I had sold my house, and my future employer said, I don't have a job for you after all. Good luck. And it's a very like fearful time. It's a lot of anxiety. You have like these responsibilities and as adult on which you have to deliver. And so I was scrambling and I was able to find a job and it really worked out. And I'm really thankful that I can still eat and all that great stuff. But I don't trade in antiquated technology. And I think that personally, if my job was to build Saturns and Saturn was no longer an item, I would probably try to look for a different job. And I think that is what a lot of people are saying. Well, you know, Donald Trump said he's going to bring jobs back to, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin, and that's why we have Michigan and Wisconsin. And I can't help but think, like, this has to be a charade. Like, you know, it's like saying you're going to put a fucking Coke machine in the cafeteria. You can't give chicken nuggets to kids every goddamn day in the cafeteria. It doesn't work like that.
I think it's a good point. But before we kind of address that, does anybody else want to? Gina, you want to talk about that? Del? You guys want to talk about any of these reasons why you think it happened?
Not just yet.
Del? Yeah, I think I mean, I think definitely the populism thing that you hit on, I think is a huge issue. I think the way that I think that Donald Trump just the way that he essentially just marketed himself a certain way to appeal to a certain group of people. Maybe he had felt like he had insider knowledge to that if he could rouse this segment of the population to go out and vote, that he would win the presidency. And in a lot of ways, I think the Democratic convention is to blame for. I think they were smug. I think there's a lot of hubris there that they thought that they could just push forward with their own like constituency and not really need to garner more or appeal to these other people in the fringes, and that includes poor white people. I think that Donald Trump did appeal to for multiple reasons, and I think also, yeah, definitely putting somebody forward in a climate, in a time where is probably the worst time to put somebody that's squarely in the establishment in front. I think that's hubris too. I think that there's just a lot of like, we can't lose feeling going on.
Yeah, and I think there's
led them to make some really bad tactical errors.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that, like, apparently, like, a lot of far left, like, socialists, like, Jacobin Mag writers were saying, hey, this is a bad choice. You know, Bernie Sanders is a better choice. And a lot of, and as we've seen, like, as they've released the emails, this is kind of a top-down decision, a party leadership decision. Like, Hillary Clinton's going to be our choice. And then they kind of convinced everybody that that would be fine. Like you said, they kind of chose her and didn't let people choose, right? They didn't, like, who do people want? People wanted Bernie Sanders, right? There was, like, this groundswell of support. And, I mean, I think Hillary Clinton is a, I think she had three things off the top of my head, things going against her. One, she was established, like you said. We've already seen everything that she could do. She had a resume and didn't have potential. And I mean, if you follow this, it's kind of silly comparison here, but Brad, like you've seen them talk about NBA players, right, in the draft. Here's a dude, he's 20 years old, he has all this potential, he could be the next Kobe, versus a guy that you've already seen. You're like, yeah, we kind of seen him, his game's kind of weak. You're not as excited about that guy. Is it rational? I don't know. It's not really that rational, but voting is not a rational choice. It's a gut feeling kind of thing. And then, so when you're selling,
with that analogy,
yeah.
I would say that it's more like seeing an active NBA player who is maybe like a second tier player or a third tier player, but still productive on a night to night basis versus a high schooler who you're thinking about drafting into the NBA. That's what it's, I think that's a little bit, but yes, I understand.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Is that like Donald Trump, right? What the Hillary Clinton's argument against him, right? Like, look at this dude. He can't run a business. He doesn't know how to, you know, he can't govern. I've governed. But especially if, like, again, if you're not in the weeds and you're not looking at this and you're not, you know, if you're just tuning in every 4 years, like most people do, right? They say, yeah, but I like that about him. He's not part of it. Let's see what he can do. That's, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So it's immediately invalidated.
I would think that everything else that he said when you just tuned in would be enough to cancel out.
I mean, like I said, this is not me telling you how I would. I agree. Like, for me, that's like, yeah, I can see the appeal.
I would have thought.
Yeah, I know, right? I can see the appeal. Like, for me, just being kind of a fan of, like, hey, let's just fucking screw this up. I kind of want to see what happens, right? Brad, you're talking about being in a dire situation. I was trying to imagine myself. I was having the same conversation earlier. Imagine if I was out of a job, right? Rust Belt City, no prospects. I feel like the Democratic Party is not really looking out for me. You know, if you look at the platform, it's like, we got to help gays and lesbians. We got to help, black people. We got to help young people. And then you're like, you know, what about me? You know, like you've heard this rhetoric. What about me? What about me? What about me? And then I don't begrudge anybody thinking about themselves because I do it too. I'm not thinking about anybody in the Rust Belt. I'm thinking about me. Everybody thinks like this. It's not unusual. This is how America works, how the world works. It's been established. And that politics, as like, you know, like the true word for it, is like bringing people together with a shared interest, right? Like, you're different, I'm different, but we both want you know, XYZ. We will both want a living wage. Let's work together to accomplish this goal. You're better off, I'm better off, and then we can disagree about whatever the hell else. That's how you do it. And I think the Democratic Party, whose job is to do this, they ask for the money, people give them money. They ask for support, they get support. They have leadership, they have people setting out strategy, right, whose only job is to figure this out, and they didn't do it. Like Dell said, they looked at it and said, we'll just tell them what they want, we'll give them this candidate, they'll deal with it, we'll sell her. And they picked the one that was the hardest sell. Not only that, she had the name Clinton that a lot of people in the Rust Belt associated, like, as to a person with, you know, the cause of their economic instability. Rightly or wrongly, I mean, I don't think Hillary Clinton was like, yeah, let me go here and destroy the Rust Belt. But again, politics is not really, it's not a rational person game, you know? It's a gut, visceral reaction. Has anybody been paying attention to 200 years of politics? You go out there and you say, we're going to make America great. Or you're going to say, we're going to get, you know, you say that. You promise the machine. You promise the everybody's going to get a job. That's how you win. That's how Donald Trump went. He has an easy sell. Hillary Clinton didn't have that. What was hers? What was hers? Again, it was, I'm a woman. It's my turn. You know, she didn't have that. Barack Obama was change. Change you can believe in. We're going to change things. And he also had that, I don't have experience. Hillary Clinton used the same argument against him. This dude didn't have no experience. I've been out there. I've been doing. And he's like, yeah, no, I don't. So I'm going to go out there, you know, and change things because I'm not colored by the whole experience. That's poor phrasing. Huh? so then you have like a guy like, I'm saying, I don't know if this would have worked, but you had a guy like Bernie Sanders with that same kind of attitude there. Like, fuck the system. It's going to all the rich elites. They're getting all the good stuff. We need to spread it around. We all got a raw deal. Let's change things. And if you're, you know, a lot of these states were decided by hundreds of thousands of votes. It was not like she just dominated Michigan. She barely won Michigan. Barely won, well, I mean, he barely won Wisconsin, et cetera, et cetera.
I think between Michigan, Wisconsin, and New Hampshire, it was something crazy like 200,000 votes decided those three states.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I heard she won the popular vote, right?
Yeah. Barely, but yes. I heard that Gary Johnson basically caused Hillary to lose Florida. I don't know if it's true. I haven't looked myself, but somebody made that comment last night. And
yeah,
in the case of like Bernie Sanders, a lot of people that would have voted for Bernie Sanders then went looking for another candidate and settled on Gary Johnson. Yeah. And if it had been Bernie, they would have been on his side still. And when it comes down to it, like, people say, well, it's their fault and they shouldn't have, you know, they shot their own party in the foot by voting third party or whatever. But that's bullcrap. Like, if you want those votes, you got to, like, treat them and understand that you have to, like, put some of that in your platform. Like, reach those people and make them want to vote for you.
Yeah, and that's what I said. That's politics. So they're bad politics. Like, actually, all right, you want to pick Hillary Clinton and you want to have a tougher sell. Fine. That's fine. But you got to go out there and sell her. You got to go out there. And she didn't stop in Wisconsin. She lost Wisconsin. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't part of these conversations. I don't know nothing about winning elections. I've never won an election. I lost my school president election in elementary. You know what I mean? It's not, you know what I mean? I don't know. But it seems to me that they didn't do the greatest job. There's a lot of people that were saying, I told you so. I told you. And then, you know, to say it's only racism or only misogyny, like a lot of people are, and I wanted to say too because it seems so easy, kind of misses the point because they said she didn't win a lot of the voters that voted for Barack Obama before. And I think another guy had a great point about basically the unwillingness of the Democratic Party to reach out to those people that they considered lost causes. They're like, those racist, backwards people, they're not going to vote for us. Let's not even try to get them, like you said. And they said, okay, he used a proposition in California that it was basically to allow gay marriage. Black people overwhelmingly voted against that, right? But black people are very solidly Democratic. And he used that as a point to, and I'm talking about Connor Fitzpatrick for Jacobin Magazine. He said, basically, look, this is how you can hold these two things that seem contradictory together. It's how you can have them both in the same party. It's how you can get those people that you consider lost causes. Those maybe racist, maybe they're a little bit, you know, maybe all things being equal, they're like, yeah, I wouldn't vote for the black guy, you know. But you can win them because what matters more is your livelihood. If they think that this candidate could represents an opportunity to improve their economic position in this world, they're going to take it. Most people do that. And she didn't even need most of them. She just needed enough to win, you know. She didn't do that. They didn't do that. Democratic Party didn't do that. I don't think this came down to emails, but I don't think that helped her. When I cast my ballot for Hillary Clinton, I didn't do it with excitement. I was like, well, the best option.
Let me
make
sure I didn't accidentally select Trump.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good point. That, and that's something I said to my students, was like, this was not a vote for the vast majority of people of I want this person to be president. It was I don't want this other person to be president. And that's an important thing to realize, man. If I had gone in to vote and only had it between those two people, I would have picked Hillary just because I couldn't fathom the idea of Trump being president.
Yeah.
I never liked Hillary and never wanted her to be president either. But that would have been the choice. And I think that was the choice for a lot of people. People like Jeremy or Ryan, like, you know, like if they made the decision, I don't know how they voted, but if they voted, when it came down to it, they voted to not put Hillary in office, you know, more than they voted for Trump, a lot more than they voted for Trump, because they hated Trump. We had conversations the whole election cycle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's a platform to run on. Hey, don't vote for that guy. You know what I mean? That's not really, you know, inspiring. That actually might have worked. People didn't vote. Like, the turnout for the Democratic Party was lower than it was in 2008, 2012. Because
that's huge.
She didn't inspire them to vote. She inspired them not to vote for Donald Trump. So maybe she actually had a convincing argument. Don't vote for Donald Trump. You're like, you know what? You're right. I'm just going to sit home. I'm going to sit home.
Yeah.
Fucking not deal with this shit because it sucks. And she didn't say, hey, come out, vote for me. And I think that was a big difference. Is that like, why? If of the three choices, to vote for Donald, Hillary, or sit at home, you know, two of them seem probably equal. You're like, I could, you know, I'm not going to be about I won't vote for Donald Trump.
And it happens to be raining.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, if it happened to be raining and you were really crazy about either one, I'm just like, I'm fucking staying home. That being said, the LA Times said that 9 million people voted, 9 million people more voted yesterday than in the 2012 election.
It's probably all for the marijuana legalization.
Also, I meant nationally, not nationally.
I mean, the country grows, right? We get more people voted than they voted in 1801, just because there weren't that many people in 1801. But yeah, like, so aside from that, she didn't get the flip vote. There was some racism in there. There was some voter suppression. This is the first election we had in 50 years without the voting rights protection, you know? And Wisconsin, there's a lot of states that had a lot of voter ID restrictions that reduced the early polling vote. They're like, where do black people like to vote? Let's reduce the times. Actually, you only get an early vote for 2 hours. I'm exaggerated. But it's basically that some people, a lot of people had a hard time voting. And, you know, I think that made a difference. But it's not like nobody knew about it. That the media should have covered that more. The Democratic Party, voting apparatus, the election apparatus that is the Democratic Party, could have done more to address that. And like Del said, I think they felt like they kind of had it in the back. They're like, surely nobody's going to vote for Donald Trump. And that's not doing everything you can to get elected. So I think I agree. Mostly they came away with it saying that the Democratic Party shot themselves in the foot. And I got other anecdotes we can go on for a while. All right, so let's turn our attention to the future. I feel like immediately, besides being upset and kind of shocked and ready to move to a swing state, or at least that cozy sea of blue. I was looking at that West Coast. Like, yeah, West Coast is fucking nice. Maybe I'll go out there. You can smoke weed now, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I want to get everybody's, like, vision of the future, the outlook.
Is mandatory it gonna be fascist? Comb-over swirl. Huh?
Yeah, but we're going to have to get a...
mandatory spray tan.
We're going to have to get a mandatory spray
Can't
tan.
Can't believe that that's going to be on a portrait of... in the history in the line of American presidents. It's going to be a fucking face.
Fucking turtle ass.
It's ridiculous.
So, like I said, just to kind of kick it off, I feel like if this is indeed the beginning of fascism, because I think you can't discount that, right? A lot of people have said, hey, you know, I think, was it Sarah Kendzior? She's like, look, I've been studying authoritarian states for, this is like my major in college or whatever. And like, I've been studying them in Asia, in Eastern Europe, a lot of places. And this is following a lot of the patterns here. You have a charismatic dude with a complicit media promising people that are...
is that charisma?
Huh.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, he has some sort of charisma, people. Yeah. I don't think so. Some people.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so the point is that he goes out there and makes these promises, right, to an ethnic base that is like the... I guess, like, you know, kind of angry minority of plurality of people, and make these big promises when they fail, as they inevitably do. You can't, he's not going to build a wall. He's not, like Brad said, going to bring manufacturing jobs to Michigan, because that's not how this world works anymore, right? You can't. Because
they don't know how to build iPhones. Like, can't.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to turn back the clock. I mean, it's like England. England's losing a lot of money and shit because they can't just say, hey, we'll just do it. We'll just live off on it. Fails to take into account the complexity of the global economic system. Anyway, so what happens is you go, oh, you know what? That was my bad, guys. No, you know what happens is that they point to the external people, right? External factors. Well, you know what it really is? This would be great if it weren't these fucking minorities, if it weren't these immigrants, if it weren't all these gays and lesbians, if it weren't all these Muslims, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how you started having violence in some of these, you know, like she said, authoritarian states. And so, I don't think we'll get any good things playing the same game that we've been playing. Of course, it's not going to happen. Of course, Donald Trump's not going to be president. Of course, he's not going to be the Republican nominee. Of course, he's not going to be, you know, all the way through. So, I think there is reason to take him seriously and be a little scared. That said, I think that I've got a little bit motivation to be organized, more organized than I was previously. Gina, how you feel about things?
What do you mean by organized?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
you get your
joining the local Democratic Party, or I don't know. Like, I'm not a registered Democrat. I don't go to any meetings. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what there is to do, especially in a blue county in Texas. But I think the first thing I'm going to do is read more than I ever did about politics and things like this. Because I felt like, I don't know if I did the best job. I felt like I did my duty. I placed a vote. I voted for Bernie Sanders. And that was, to me, my indication that I wasn't a super fan of Hillary Clinton. And I voted for Hillary Clinton once the time came. And I tried to convince people I knew. Like, you know, Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a fucking clown. Don't vote for that dude. You know. I don't know. I don't know what else there was to do, but I think my intention is to find out.
Yeah, I don't know what to do going forward. I felt after the results last night like I'd have some kind of duty to get involved, and like surely I'm going to have to do something more going forward to be involved locally and make sure I can really say I did my part not to let something like this happen again. But then I'm like, you know, where do you really start? And how do you know where to focus your attention and whether that specific thing or that person that you put your time into is worth your time or the right direction? And then I'm like, you know, forget it. Let's just go see a movie because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interested.
How do you feel about what he's going to do versus what he is not going
to do? Man, I feel hopeful that he'll get so caught up in the bureaucracy machine and being the puppet for other, maybe more even-keeled, less insane people, that he can't actually do some of the ridiculous things that he said he would. But then I'm kind of like, you know, I was surprised by this, so I might be surprised by other things.
Yeah, it's basically how much benefit of the doubt are you going to give the dude? Like, you know what? Despite all the misogyny, the racism, the self...
Or the people in his administration, because it's nice. Like, yeah. I'd like to assume that he's the only one that would say and maybe believe those extreme things. But, like, no, he probably is backed by other individuals who feel the same way.
Yeah, you know, so before I ask you, Del, about, like, the expanded presidency and things like this, I mean, I think that's the kind of thing that I can kind of get excited to, you know, put time and effort into, is that one of the reasons that I wasn't, like, a huge fan of Barack Obama's later policies is that he was expanding the presidency. And I understood why, because he had a obstructionist Congress there, right? They're not letting him do his job. But, you know, like, it ends up being that, hey, you have to vote a person that you think is reasonable. Otherwise, it could be hell. How about we don't let anybody... Let's put a failsafe in there. So this dude cannot break the world. You know what I mean? But we didn't do that. We gave him... We unlocked it. We unlocked administrator rights in a lot of areas, right? Here's a guy that seems like he's paranoid and petty, and he has access to fucking drones and the NSA database. He could watch you... Fucking, you know, do whatever the fuck. He was walking in on 15-year-old teenagers at his pageant, like, hey, you know, they let you do whatever you want when you're a celebrity. What things is he going to find out that he can do when he's president of the fucking United States of America? He do whatever the fuck he wants. Almost, because our Democratic president in the last 8 years helped expand the presidency, and before that, Republican president expanded the presidency. Del, what do you think about that? What do you think about Rudy Giuliani as attorney general, or this climate change denier as head of the EPA?
Giuliani, I don't know. I don't know much about him. I feel like he's pretty well respected and well liked, but I don't. The idea of, I do agree. Like, this is a prime. So this is the best example of, like, all the expansion of powers that we want. That people were like, "Yay, yay, Obama, just do what you want." Like that comes back around now. It's Trump can do whatever he wants because Obama paved the way, right? And this is a great lesson in the necessity for the checks and balances and the limited powers of the president. Man, like, I don't know, dude. That's the thing, is like, I don't know, and I think that's the only thing that also is both hopeful. Like, hope springs eternal, because you can't see the end of the path. We actually don't know what he thinks, I don't think, because except for the way he has, like, the things have been brought to light about the way he is when he doesn't see the camera on him or doesn't know the camera's on him. You know, all we see is his marketing of himself to win the presidency and saying, feeling like it's safe, like he's saying whatever he wants to say or whatever he needs to say to win. But that may not necessarily, maybe he actually believes that. You know, I agree with you about, like, at some point, we have to take somebody at their word and not just keep giving them a benefit of the doubt or whatever. But there's nothing to do but give the benefit of the doubt, I feel, at this point, you know, to keep, like, any sense of, like, sanity about the issue.
Brad, are you going to join the local Democratic Party? Go ahead.
I do. I do feel like I was thinking today, like, I think the thing that bothers me the most is that this is feels like a nostalgia trip in a lot of ways. And, like, people are like, oh, he's going to bring the 80s back, sort of thing, you know, where it was all about the bottom line and take advantage of whatever and whoever resources to save money. And, like, so in, I could see in the next 4 years, like, well, that's kind of speculation thing that we're not talking about yet. But, like, I fear for the progress will be made in, like, climate, like environmental concerns, and in, like, putting money and energy towards alternative fuels and taking care of the earth and organic products and stuff. And if we get somebody in there who's like, no, we just got to turn it around to like fix the economy, that we're all going to be eating Soylent Green, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think before I go to you officially, Brad, I think one of the cool things about this whole thing is that, I mean, it's not like this giant tide. It felt like, I was like, look at all that sea of red, like you said, but that's largely because of our system, right? That if you have 10 dudes in, you know, Nowhere County, Texas, and they all voted for Donald Trump, and there's, you know, 10 of 11 people there, that whole county looks like that. And it's like, you know, 90 square miles of nothing, right? And 2 million people voted for Hillary Clinton in San Antonio, right? It looks the same on the map, but it's totally different. And 51% of the 40% of people who voted for Hillary Clinton, right? So it's a small little thing, like, hey, on average, right, you just go out there, just the odds are that you're going to pick somebody that doesn't, you know, isn't like a Donald Trump super fan. And, you know, we can change things. We, you know, like, there's things broken about the Democratic Party. It could be fixed. Are you going to join? Are you going to do any of that kind of stuff? You can do some organizing, try to get unionized or something. I know you hate unions.
I hate unions. Hate
unions.
Them. And, one of and you know what?
Most amazing organizing tools of the Democratic Party for like 100 years.
I'm in. I'm not
fucking
joking.
Hate this right now. Union Local 395.
I've had some other significant problems at work. I've had some other significant professional problems over the last 6 months. Not just losing my job, you know, not just having a job offered to me and then it being revoked, you know, without retribution. I've had some other significant problems that I don't necessarily want to discuss in detail.
Yeah.
That in combination with this and in combination with the idea that the big business needs to get bigger, and business needs to forsake the humanity that drives it for the bottom line, I am in to unions. If there was a union that came around and was like, hey, do you want to, I'd be like, hey, just give me a card. I'll say, I'm in. Just, I give you your fucking dues. Let's get on. I'm on board.
And, yeah, I think that's the way to approach these kind of things. Like, and you know, when I'm talking about, hey, does it inspire you to do stuff? Because, yeah, I think it's real easy. Like, I was like, you know what? Let's go get some fucking comfort food. Yeah, we just had some good-ass food, too. Because I was like, I need some comfort food. I'm going to drink some whiskey. It tastes real good. Soothes my soul for just a little bit. But, you know, you can't keep doing that. Like, a week from now, it's like, that's the cool part. It's like, hey, you can make, you can be the change you want to see in the world, right? You can go out there. You can do it. It's hard. You meet up with some people, say, hey, what are you guys doing that, you know, aligns with some of my goals? Here's some things I'd like to see. How do we make that happen? Who do we get behind? What do we got to do? Do we have that town hall? We start talking about it. Like, what do we do? Let's start doing some of those things. Get to know your people around you. A lot of people share the same concerns. I'm glad I went to work today. I almost stayed home from work. I'm glad I went to work. I was just kind of talking with people there. And a lot of people agreed with me, and that I didn't expect. They're like, yeah, I can't believe it.
I wish I'd stayed home.
Kind of wanted to stay home. Sorry, Brad. I
don't know. Yeah, and yes, I do want to join a union. I don't know how to form a fucking union. Yes, I do want to get involved in my local Democratic branch, which is probably pretty modest. And that, you know what that means? Great opportunity for growth. I don't know, Gina, you were like, well, man, what the fuck are you supposed to do? You know, I don't know. I don't know exactly what you're supposed to do. But I think the first thing that comes to mind is, like, use their game plan against them. You know, just you and Adam start taking out loans. Max out every fucking loan that you can get. Start investing in business. Start trying to build your own capital. When one of you goes bankrupt, fuck you. I'm getting a divorce. You declare bankruptcy. Wait 7 years. You still hang out. You still live here. Come on. You can hang out with Penny and me. Come on, whatever. Make some money. Do it the exact same fucking way that this douchebag did it, and invest in the candidate, or invest in the people, or invest in the projects that you want to invest in. Clearly, we can't do that because we all have morals.
Yeah.
But that's, like, one of the things that came to mind. I was like, what if you just fucking, like, followed their street map on this thing?
Yeah.
And I mean, as far as expectations, I'm just so sick of hearing from some of my Republican friends and family members that, like, oh, well, as soon as a fucking Republican gets in there, shit's going to turn around. I want it fucking done. That's what I want. I want all these people to have jobs. I don't want any of them to suffer. The reason I'm interested in the Democratic Party to begin with is because I feel like it's a matter of social justice. And no, you know what? Maybe if you cut the fucking deficit down to zero, and maybe if you generate 25 million jobs overnight, and maybe if all these people are living a little bit better, maybe they should be a little bit less racist. Maybe they'll be a little fucking less angry. Maybe they will feel a little bit more equitable. I don't think that'll happen. Yeah. But, like, I'm just sick of hearing, oh, it's all Obama's fault. Even though, I mean, I sort of feel like saying thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. I want
the Republicans to get in there and get shit done. And stop blaming it on a fucking limp dick Congress that you fucking made. You know? And stop blaming it on the illegal aliens. Oh, you fucking hate it. Oh, deport them. Get rid of them. Let's see fucking how good that goes. Let's see if you have some fucking uprising. Let's see if maybe it just doesn't work out because you don't have anybody to build your fucking roads that nobody wants to do. I mean, I want them to get greeted by their own naysayers. I want shit to completely blow up in their face. I want them to do what they say they're going to do. I mean, like you said earlier, I know that that's not going to happen. I know that they're going to... Well, actually, this is what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to get in there and they're going to get bogged down, like Gina said, in the bureaucracy, but also they're going to get focused on the wrong shit. And they're going to spend a lot of time on the wrong shit. And he's not even going to get around to the wall because he's going to be focusing on Roe v. Wade. You know, he's going to be focusing on the same shit that a lot of politicians waste time on. And he's not going to do anything about infrastructure. He's not going to do anything about immigration. And, I mean, I guess that's sort of like a hopeful, you know, look, that maybe he won't destroy everything because he'll be wasting time on the just ridiculous minutiae of the religious right.
But I don't think he's going to be focused on that at all. I think he's going to be it's going to be all economic policy.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it's all he knows. I think that's all he knows. I think it's all he's going to be focused on. I don't think that necessarily means it's going to be a good thing. Like, for that, I don't know that his policies are going to be good, but I don't think that social issues that he gives a damn about them. I really don't. I think he thinks what he thinks. But I don't think he's going to try to push those policies into being a president. Maybe. We'll see, man.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, I think, like I said, Donald Trump, the dude, I'm not really scared. I don't think he's that super bright. I think he's shrewd and a good self-promoter, right? I mean, I think he called it way back when. He goes wherever he thinks he's going to get the – he says whatever he thinks he should say, like, you know what I mean? He was a Democrat – for a while, he was giving money to the Democratic Party, and then he's like, maybe I'll just turn heel, get all this attention, because that seems where all the populism is, and I'll vote, I'll be Republican, I'll say all this shit. It sounds like he didn't believe anything you were saying. You're just saying, I love the Bible. Bible, fucking love that book. It's fucking great. Read it back, front to back, it's fucking great. Jesus, yeah, fucking super awesome guy. Wine, yeah, he did that. So
high five him in his nailed up hand.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is that, like, he took the political game, running for office, and took it to the extreme, right? He stretched it out. It's very postmodern, right? And, you know, like I said, the anarchist in me is like, yeah, fuck, blow it up. So then it kind of gives me hope. I'm like, what is he going to do now that he got the job? I don't even know if he wanted the job. I think he just wanted to promote his hotels. He was promoting his hotel when they were asking him, like, so what did you call this thing? Are you going to, like, put this birther thing to bed? He's like, yeah. Turns out it's fine. I figured it out. Come look at my hotel. You know what I mean? Like, so I think a guy with that kind of outlook on it is going to be looking at himself the whole time. Like, look at me, I'm the greatest president ever. It's fucking awesome. He's going to be focused on a tree. Look at this big-ass Christmas tree I got, White House. Instead of two turkeys, I got five turkeys. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be feeling like that shit. And so that kind of gives me hope.
I hope so, man. Yeah. I hope so.
It's fucking dumb, but...
Then we could just sit back for 4 years and laugh. And just, like, enjoy as the world crumbles around us and just laugh at our our comedian president.
Yeah. That's right.
Bigger than life, president.
Worry about Syria.
But I guess what scares me, much like the George W. Bush thing, is that George W. Bush was kind of similar. It was the other people that were running shit, right? It's fucking Dick Cheney is like, yeah, let's fucking go to war, you know. And people died. There's fucking serious consequences there. And I think for the other people that are like, you know what, let's fucking invade the White House with this rogue Molotov cocktail of a candidate, that people, I'm quoting other people in this. I think the problem with that is that that's fine. Okay, you want to blow it up and fuck the establishment. Okay, you did it. That's, your plan was to get in. Nobody had a plan for governing afterwards. Much the same way that we were like, let's fucking invade Iraq, WMDs. Boom, mission accomplished, bitches, USA. Now what? Oh, fuck, well, y'all should just, like, govern yourselves or whatever. Holy shit, now we're just fucking ISIS and it's fucking...
Y'all got this.
Yeah, it's fucking us over now, right? Here, 10 years later, 15 years later and shit. Same thing. Boom. White House. Invaded. Infiltrated. You know what I mean? Outsider candidate. Now what? Now what? You're in. Now what? Oh, fuck. I think that's what's going to happen to a lot of people that put him in there.
Maybe he'll bring in a camera crew. We'll have a special all White House all the time channel.
Dude, that's starting to fucking help with the police. I mean,
you know, I also thought about
live
Nero.
Nero. Yeah.
He had red hair. He kind of, if you look at pictures,
crumbled.
He played his fiddle while Rome fell. Like, he was very self-interested in all his own stuff, and it was at the height or the beginning of the twilight of Rome's. Yeah. And he kind of, look at a picture of him, that scowl looks very familiar. Maybe this is reincarnated Nero.
I would say to that, that reminds me of this Fall of Rome podcast that I think I sent to you guys. It's pretty interesting. They're like, guy got his PhD in it, and he was like, well, I figured most people should know it. It shouldn't be just an academic thing. So he started a podcast basically just expounding on topics like that. Like, most people think it was the barbarians, but let's actually get deeper, the latest revelations and history and science and shit like that. So it's pretty interesting. So, speaking of Nero. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done. Been talking about this for like an hour and 15 minutes. I feel good. It was good talking to you guys about it.
Good?
Huh?
You feel good?
Sure, I feel good.
I feel better now than I did, let's say, about noon today when I was just like browsing through my phone and just going, fuck. I was texting.
I think the feeling will come back in January.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come in waves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was like Colton. I was like, yeah, we're going to podcast about it. It was perfect timing. And I was joking that I'm kind of debating whether or not to actually talk about it or just go, holy fuck, the whole episode. And he's like, I think that would probably be better. I think everybody should realize that you have some agency. You can go out and make some shit happen. You can go out and organize people. I think somebody said, like, look, the people that got together Black Lives Matter didn't have this bureaucracy of a party system. They didn't have a lot of shit. It was just a lot of dudes just with Twitter getting shit together and making shit happen. And they got a lot of that stuff on the national agenda, you know? Like, you're talking about body cams, a lot of this stuff right there. It's not perfect yet. It's not solved. It's not resolved. But, I mean, agenda setting is within your grasp. person, you know, about whatever issue. Like, I mean, maybe it's not an issue we all think is important, but, you know, that's how you get it done. And I think the other thing that gives me some hope is that, like, when you're trying to strangle out the last vestiges, the last throes of, like, hate and racism and all these other things and, like, white supremacy and misogyny, I mean, they're going to fight back, right? You know? People are going to have a backlash. This always happens, right? So it kind of gives me hope that, you know, we can overcome a lot of that stuff. A lot of this stuff has changed recently. It used to be you couldn't get gay married. Now you can. They're going to be like, no, you can't. But, I mean, there's a lot of gay people, a lot of people that are a lot, they're cooler with the gay people than they were before, right? So, I mean, it's not like he's going to just fucking go in and make it happen. Like, right, no gays can get married now. And like, whatever, they're still going to love each other. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, fucking no more of this shit, you know? Like, people are going to still fight against it. So, I think that's it. That's all I got. Gina, you have anything?
No.
Instead of just in watch a movie mode?
Yeah.
I understand.
I don't know. We'll see, man.
But you're going to pick a movie for us to watch as the world burns?
You know.
You have to think about that?
No.
I would like to say one thing before we close off and pick the movie, is that throughout the day, I don't know. I'm not a religious person. Del, I know you're religious. I feel like I've gotten a lot of peace, specifically from the ministers that I know on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Peter's stuff has been awesome.
Yeah, and I want to give a special shout out to Peter Gray. He's a friend of ours. He's an Episcopalian priest who has had a thread going all day that says, you know, regardless of who you voted for, just love your neighbor. That's what the Bible says, love your neighbor. And so about every, you know, half hour to an hour, he'll just go take a picture with another person that he knows or maybe you met on the street. And he says, and it's a selfie with him and some other person. And he says, you know, this is Tim. This is my neighbor. I love him. And I know, I don't think that it solves problems. I don't think that it speaks to frustration, but I think that there is peace that I've found in it personally. And I just want to give a big shout out to the people who are doing that. And in my specific circumstance, Peter Gray.
Doug, do you want to close out with anything?
No, I think that's good. I just feel like the realization, I guess, that I can't empathize fully with the people who are experiencing like legitimate, whether founded or like they have a reason to fear.
Yeah.
They have a reason to be afraid, like legitimate reason, and to feel like maybe they were blind, but to the reality of like the state of America, but to come to have kind of like the blindfold removed and to see that, you know, these things that you've been fighting for and thinking that the world was turning into this beautiful place, to see that there's still ugliness and that you're still hated. Another friend of ours posted like about the realization that he, you know, is hated by a large portion for who he is, for being a gay man in America. Like he is like, and we just elected a person who like stands on the platform of like, that's okay to hate that person sort of thing. Like, it's just, I'm just sad for them. And I don't want fear to like take root, because fear does breed, like turn into hate. That's where like hate comes, is bred out of fear. And yeah, so holding on to any hope that's possible, you know,
yeah,
in the future as things go forward.
I guess I know I'm extending a little bit. Well, you can browse some movies here. I think that's a great point to make.
I'm not
about
picking a movie today.
Yeah, the movie. I think that's a great point to make. And I think a lot of people, what people said is like, hey, if you are in a position of privilege, right, say you're a straight white male, and basically looking at you guys, right, is when that comes to that. But I'm a straight male. I'm not white. But you know what I mean? Like, kind of, we're all kind of shared a lot of privilege. We're educated. We get good jobs. You know what I mean? We're not destitute. We can help other people to do that. And I think that kind of goes off a little bit, the whole love thy neighbor. I mean, maybe I'm not as sentimental, and so I'm like, God, that picture, got pictures just holding somebody. And it doesn't really do anything for me. But I think what does is that, like, hey, if you know somebody that's close to being persecuted, right? Say you got have a sister who's gay, you might get persecuted. You know an African-American person or a Muslim person that immediately on the streets when they're getting ready to go to school, people at their bus stop are yelling at them, yelling at their face, going, Trump, 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 go back to where you came from. Just like people that we know, right? Do what you can for those people, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it sucked. I felt scared. I was scared last night. I was like, not of Donald Trump, really, because I think he's kind of a clown. But people that feel empowered by Donald Trump to say that kind of thing, to put spray paint a swastika, right, to raise a Nazi flag above their house
the
in San Francisco.
The Klan members who were celebrating on a bridge in North Carolina.
Yeah. Shit like that. Like, I mean, that the enablement of actual hate, dangerous shit like that, that's what scares me. You know what I mean? It's not fucking Rudy Giuliani or even the EPA guy. That's long-term planetary stuff. But it's a guy around the corner that's been seasoned and say, you know what, fuck you, motherfucker, and then throw something at me, you know what I mean? Or throw something at my daughter or my wife or my mother-in-law or my mom or my dad or people that I care about or even people I don't care about that are vulnerable. I think it's our obligations, our duty as fellow citizens and just human beings and Christians to look out for other people like that. So everybody should, I think, do what you can, even if it's something like that. Next week we'll pick a show and we'll laugh all over again. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Deranged Penguin Podcast. For Brad, Del, Gina, and for Donald Trump.
No, not man.
Deranged Penguin Podcast is out.